Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Numbers 21, and Israel is on the verge of heading towards the promised land. And along the way, there's going to be some battles that they're going to have to encounter because there's people in those lands that don't want Israel coming forth. And we'll begin to address that today. But let's begin in verse 1. When the Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was coming by the way of Ethraim, then he fought against Israel and took some of them captive. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities." The Lord heard the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites. Then they utterly destroyed them and their cities. Thus the name of the place was called Hormah. Now, here we are. God promised the land to Israel. He helped them to escape from Egypt, and he's been miraculously providing for this group of people in the desert, and he's going to miraculously provide for them to take over the promised land. It's something that he long ago promised to Abraham's family, and he's going to fulfill it. God is trying to set up a community that he's going to bless, that his hand is going to be upon, and that the world may see the blessing upon this country, this family of his, and that ultimately then people will learn to worship Yahweh. But in order to establish this community that God is establishing in the land, there are enemies. There are people who don't want them there, and as a result, there's going to be God providing for them military victory in order that they can take the land. Now, one thing I want us to understand is that we always have to keep in mind the difference between Israel and the church and the old covenant and the new covenant. So this is a promise that God is fulfilling for Israel, and there is still promises that God has for Israel, and one day, you know, God's going to come back and rule and reign in Jerusalem, and there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. So God has his hand upon that land, and he's going to fulfill what he promised in giving it to his people. But it's different now. Like, there is military victory. Sometimes it's kind of, honestly, if you don't know the whole Bible, and you only know, like, God is love, it's kind of sometimes difficult then when you're reading the Bible and you see things that you don't think line up with the view that you've had, you know, and it's partly because we've only been taught what we've been taught. We've only been, you know, taught what we've cherry-picked lessons instead of the whole counsel of God's word. So once you take in the whole counsel, then you're not surprised by some of the things that you see. This is a different dispensation. So a dispensation, you could call it, is a different season in which God operated in a unique way for that season in history. And there are different dispensations or seasons in which God works in different ways. And in this particular season, God is establishing Israel and heading them towards the promised land. And in order to give it to them, there's going to have to be war in military victory. But when Jesus Christ came and we got ushered in a new covenant and the covenant of grace that we live under now, he did not come as a military leader. In fact, the Jews were kind of looking for Jesus to come in and conquer and provide victory over the Roman Empire when Jesus came. And that's one of the reasons they missed him, because he came in as a suffering servant and he came in to usher in a spiritual kingdom where he's giving the Spirit to his church, people who believe in him, and he did not come to destroy cities or to provide for military victory at that time and this time in history. That's not how God is working in the church. So right now we're here to be his kingdom priests, to get the message of the gospel out so that people can come to have faith in Jesus. One day, you know, in the tribulation, there's going to be some return of war, and ultimately God's going to bring his victory to the land and to Jerusalem, but that's not the season that we're in now. So it's important to distinguish that. It's not that God's not the same. It's not that it's not the same God. You know, Jesus is the Son of God, but also is God. And it was how Jesus is how God revealed himself. But when Jesus came, and then ultimately when he died and rose, he began the church age, and God's operating differently. So it's important to understand that when you see war and victory and destroying of you know, God's people's enemies at this time, it's what needed to happen to fulfill the promise that God gave to Abraham to give him that land. So there we have it. There's somewhat of an explanation there. I hope it helps, but God's not asking us to do that today. God wants us to, he does want us to love people and to reach people and to help them to discover the good news. And we're going to see in this next section in chapter 21 here, something that points directly to Jesus. It's pretty cool. Let's head there now. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against God and Moses, something they did often. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? They've said this before, haven't they? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. They're complaining about the miraculous food that they've been given by God. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you," which is a good thing for them to recognize that. They're having repentance here, and they're directly calling out that they did something wrong. And they're asking now, intercede with the Lord, Moses, that he may remove, that God may remove the serpents from us. I guess it's easy to be repentant when you're getting bit by serpents. And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, on a pole, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. This is going to be an image of a fiery serpent on a pole. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard up high so you could see it. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, imagine, first of all, feeling under the penalty of God or the judgment of God even for being these serpents coming in because of your disobedience and complaining. But then imagine this bronze serpent being made, and when you looked at it, you'd be saved. I mean, that'd be, and it would be the only way you'd be saved. Otherwise, you'd die by these serpents. So God provided for a miracle, and they would recognize that God did something amazing, and they'd be so thankful that that bronze serpent was lifted up and that they could see it and live. And this gets brought into the New Testament. It's a foreshadow of Jesus. And in chapter 3 of the Gospel of John, it says this, as Moses, this is John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, just as they lifted up that bronze serpent on a pole, Jesus got lifted up on a cross and elevated on a cross so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. And it's as though sin has had us all bit by a serpent. It's as though we all have the problem of sin in our lives today. And we need something to be lifted up to look at in order to forgive us and get us away from the bronze serpent or the penalty of our sin. And just as that bronze serpent saved them, now Jesus, when we see him as high and lifted up, and we see him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and we place our trust in him and we look to Jesus, we are cured and forgiven, hallelujah, of our sin, just as the people were saved by the bronze serpent. Isn't that awesome? May the world see Jesus high and lifted up. May they see him on a standard. May they turn to him to be forgiven. That's the only way. Otherwise, eventually, the sin, the serpent's bites are going to take our lives and keep us away from all that God has in store for us. But if we will just but look at Jesus high and lifted up, we can be saved. And you might recall what's next, the very next verse: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son of the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." God didn't make that bronze serpent to judge. God made the bronze serpent to save. They were already judged because of their sin. He who believes in him, and he who looks at that bronze serpent, and now he who looks to Jesus and believes in him, is not judged. But he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And the serpents were already biting. They were already judged for their complaining. And the bronze serpent lifted up on a standard was the solution, was their healing, was their hope. And now Jesus is our healing and our hope. He's been lifted up. May we look to him to be forgiven. Hallelujah. Well, that's a beautiful picture there in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ. So now they are saved by the bronze serpent, and they are going to journey on in the rest of this chapter, and they are going to begin to praise God for their military victories. They're going to even sing songs because it's very evident to them that God's providing for them. It's almost like they're getting their army in readiness. You know, they're beginning to learn how to prepare to fight for the promised land. But, you know, God's providing for their victory. God's blessing them in their victory. And they have a couple of battles yet in this chapter. I'm not going to read all of it. I encourage you to read, as I have this morning, the entire chapter. But God is providing for Israel because he promised them the land, and he's going to succeed in fulfilling what he promised. So that's what we have in Numbers 21, and we're going to begin in Numbers 22, an interesting story about Balak and Balaam, and an interesting story about a donkey. It really is quite exhilarating or interesting to take that story in, and we'll see you again in Numbers 22. God bless you all.